episode 32.
You're right. It's 32.
Yeah, 32. Yep. We're approaching that famous Irish number, 33, but that's for the next one. As always on these fine episodes, I will be starting with an allogram, as it is now known. What a name.
Fucking earth.
And I pick a player who I thought had a good round, or just someone who's relevant at the moment. And this week, the anagram or allogram is All Harrows Man. So that's AllHarrowsMan. All Harrows Man.
And I'm going to try guess that, mate. Congrats.
Any early guesses, mate?
No, I actually can't figure this one out straight away. So fair play to you for making it a bit more challenging this week.
Yeah, I've listened to the people, the one or two people that do get back to me on these. They are the reason this segment's still running. So thank you.
All right, that's the allogram. Thanks for that, mate. Should we get stuck into the round that was?
Let's do it. The round of upsets.
It doesn't get any better than that, champion. I'll tell you what. Get a big dog up, you Collingwood. You fucking deserve it.
Yeah, mate. Big round of upsets. It was, well, depends who you look at it. I wouldn't say Crows beating Carlton was an upset. And based on my tips, mate, they were not upsets. I knew that was going to happen. Let's save that.
Save the tips, mate.
First, we want to get, do we want to recap some stories or go straight into the round or?
What are the stories?
Well, there was one I wanted to bring up.
Is it the one that's written where you're hovering now? Because I think we should talk about that within that game.
Do you want to?
Yeah.
All right. Not. Yeah.
Makes more sense.
I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to do that, mate. All right. Well, let's get into the first game of the round, which was between
Melbourne and Brisbane, which was round five, the beginner of round five at the MCG. 44,000 there. My little sister was among them. She's sadly a D's fan. And you had the old Fitzroy faithful.
That's pretty poor numbers, eh? Like, Melbourne really don't have a good support base, do they? Well, not a big one anyway.
44,000 on a Thursday night, though.
Yeah.
Like, if this was in Adelaide, we'd be going, wow, that's unreal.
Well, yeah, but it's Melbourne. It's a Melbourne-based team. I don't know. If that was, like, you know, Collingwood or someone else, that would almost be packed out still, even for a Thursday.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, it surprised me. I thought Melbourne, I thought they were a bigger team than that. But anyway.
Yeah, they choose not to come, the old Melbourne faithful sometimes. But there you go, a story for another day.
Well,
but you had the Lions knocking off the D's.
I was going to say, on that, you say the faithful choose when to come, and it looks like Melbourne chose not to turn up that game on the playing side.
What a segue.
Yeah, mate.
So you had Brisbane 82, 12 goals, 10 behinds, beat Melbourne, who got 60, 8 goals, 12 behinds. An upset, you know, by odds wise, this was quite a big upset. I think Brisbane were closer to $3 than they were two, and Melbourne heavy favourites.
Yeah, based on the way both teams have gone at the start of this year, definitely an upset. But I think it was... It's about time Brisbane started getting into gear. They had a good momentum game last week. And I did think that they would apply that into this game. Now, I tipped Brisbane to win on my actual tips that I care about. On the pod, I said Melbourne were going to win.
But I thought when we were talking about this that you said you were going Brisbane.
Well, I did
want... Was this a late change?
No. I wanted to tip Brisbane, but I was thinking more, you know, Melbourne should win based on, you know, based on the odds and things like that and based on form. So, yeah, I went a bit safe in that regard. But,
what do you mean the tips you care about? That does not sound good to our viewers.
No, you're right. I care about all my tips, but there's a competition where I can actually win money and there's one where I can't. So
you can win in and under merge.
I thought it was a good opportunity for me to get a leg on the competition by tipping a bit more of a roughie with Brisbane. So, yeah.
All right, there you go. Well, you got one tip. You can't go, you can't tip wrong if you tip them both, can you? So
exactly. But yeah, a very good performance from Brisbane. And I have seen their growth in recent years playing at the G. You'd probably write them off straight away a couple years ago, but they're starting to show that they can play interstate.
They are.
And
big result that for their season to really kickstart it. Melbourne obviously looked quite good. Brisbane had looked, they'd been questioned, obviously coming off the back of an easy game against North. So a real line in the sand for them.
Yeah. Yeah, and Melbourne have had a good recent record against interstate teams. You're doing a clean sweep of the SA teams. But, yeah, couldn't get the job done against Brisbane. And, again, I think Brisbane have really found themselves now, and I think they're going to be a team to not mess with for the other teams anyway.
Yeah, Cam Rayner was fantastic in this one early on. I think he had 6 clearances in the first quarter, which is massive numbers. Looking real good when he rotates through the middle, so good signs for Brisbane.
Yeah, he was great. He was electric. Dunkley as well was amazing. He was a magnet.
Yep.
Clugger was great too.
Lachie Neal, 250th, was it? Or 200th?
200th, was it? It was one of them. I don't know. I think it was 200. He was great. Got 24 touches. But yeah, like I said, Clugger had 23-2. That was a great game. Zorko's been unbelievable in that role off the half back. Yeah. He was one of their better players. He had 29.
But I thought he was playing there a few years ago and then they moved him like a pressure forward and now he's back there.
Zorko,
you used to go in 25.
Zorko fit and at his best is a midfielder. Okay. So the last few years they have... you know, with their emergence of their midfield, there's not been a slot for him, especially at his age. So I think they've been very experimental with where they can play him. And with Keaton Coleman going out.
Yeah.
I think they've gone, well, we can utilize him at halfback, and he's, yeah, just been very good there. So,
yeah. Lachie Neal, 250th, it was.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of games.
Melbourne got a long break now. That I think Clayton Oliver's had surgery on his hand that's been bothering for a while, but isn't expected to miss any footy.
They've
got the bye next week, so it's a lot of time to simmer on that result for them.
You could tell that was really affecting Clary. He's been nowhere near his best since he's had that hand injury. So
he hasn't.
So I think that's going to help put him back into form, getting that right. So, yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, great win for the Lions. And good for us. We both tipped them to win the premiership. So,
fucking oath. All right. Moving on to the next game. This was an upset. I did not see this happening.
Really? See, yeah, I thought this was quite 50-50. You're talking about the Dogs v Essendon.
Yeah, Friday night game. Western Bulldogs hosted Essendon at Marvel Stadium.
I was at this one, I will say. Absolute fucking nightmare to sit down.
What do you mean?
We got there 20 minutes before the first quarter started, and when you're general admission, so we're just the cheapies,
mm-hmm.
you don't get an assigned seat. So you just have to go on the top level and find a seat.
One, yeah, right.
And it was a fucking nightmare. Like, genuinely made me not want to go to another game.
Why? Was it packed?
There was 50,000 there, which is close to capacity for them. And most of the free seats were in the more expensive seat. So... really frustrating when you miss almost half a quarter of footy. Like,
fuck, that is, yeah.
Because you can't get a seat.
That doesn't sound fun at all. Yeah, that's why you can't go wrong in the comfort of your own couch, mate.
But it shouldn't be like that. You know, if they know it's going to be a sellout, you should be just assigned a seat. Simple as that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, AFL, if you're listening.
Yeah, that would be my next CEO update.
Well, you went to the game, mate, so you talk us through it. I'll give the score quickly. Bulldogs 9-13-67, lost by 29 points to Bombers 15-6-96.
This result sums the Bombers up because this is what they're capable of when they're up for it. Last week looked awful against Port Adelaide, but of course this week play a team that they weren't favourites to beat, and they absolutely pumped them. Like, they were really good on the night, quite clear winners. Bulldogs did their thing a couple of times, the sort of fast handballs through the middle and that sort of thing, but Essendon, the pressure was super high all game, and they were, yeah, deserved winners of that one. So it's just a case of, can they keep doing it? Because I think they can't, and this is why everyone gets frustrated with Essendon. Big question marks about the Dogs.
I just don't understand, and I do get it, because they've had this list for a few years now and it's just been hit and miss, but like, why is it still happening? Why haven't they got it into gear? I'm just waiting for the year where it all clicks again, but it's just not happening. Looking at that list now, like, I'm looking at their team, it's stacked.
They have a great list. They don't have a great defense though.
They don't. You're right. It's not the greatest defense on paper, but if you look,
and they're the victims of their own playing style. Sometimes it works, and when it does, it looks great. But when it doesn't, they just can't. They don't chip it around and suck the pressure out of teams.
But they should be kicking more than 9 goals a game.
Yeah,
looking at
absolutely.
That midfield, looking at that forward line, it's not good enough. And mate, I wanted to ask the question: Marcus Bontempelli.
Yeah, where is he?
Where is he? What are they doing with him?
I think Durham played a fantastic game on him and was around him at the stoppages, which really limited his impact. And we know how dangerous he can be from that sort of position.
But I feel like they're like trying to play him into form or something, and they're like putting him in different positions and stuff.
Yeah. I don't think it helped. Like, the other week when we went and watched them play West Coast, which is a nothing game, he played a lot of time forward. And I don't know, it's not got a great look. And there's always question marks around Luke Beveridge's choices, and I think they're only going to be highlighted more with this result. But it could be time to try something different.
I think Bev goes this year. I think...
How soon do you think he makes it through the season?
I don't think so. I think if... Where are they now on the ladder? They're 11th. If they're sitting out of the eight in the next 4 or 5 games, I think he's gone.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I think it's that cutthroat with him now. I think they've given him enough chances.
And
look, he's obviously a proven coach. He's won a premiership when they shouldn't have won a premiership. So, you know, kudos to him now. But they're in such a great position with their list. They've given him year after year to convince them he's still the man for the job. And again, I don't think he's a bad coach. I just think at this period, it's like, we just need something to change. And that's
something different.
That's generally what happens. The coach gets the orders to move on. So I would not...
He's been
be
given
surprised.
Quite a lot of leeway, so it's probably his due. And the amount of media pressure that gets put on him, I think, is more about his character and his personality than it is about his coaching. But yeah, it's a bit of a character assassination with him.
Yeah.
But... That's it. A massive talking point was Tom Liberatore in this one. I was at the game, like I said. Stringer smashed him, like absolutely smashed him. Fair tackle. And Liber was down on the ground. Obviously, he's quite a hard man to keep down. He was down for a little while, waved away the trainers, got himself up. And then I think a few minutes later, we started heading to the exit, so I didn't see it live. He collapsed, like just briefly. And then Darcy Parish helped him to his feet, but never a good sign. Possibly delayed concussion.
Yeah. Just before we talk about it, great sportsmanship by Darcy Parish. Like, we want to see that.
Yeah.
Just concern for his fellow human being in that moment. Didn't care about the game, which, you love to see.
Yeah, it's good.
But yeah, no, it's not a good thing to see where players just collapsing, you know, 50, 60 meters off the ball, just falling down.
No.
I don't really like how, like, Bulldogs downplayed it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the weird thing is there wasn't necessarily a head knock. So I think they're unsure of how to play it, and they don't want to... Because obviously, as soon as a head knock's in, there's concussion protocols, which he's entered anyway. So, yeah. But, yeah, I agree. It sounded weird, the statements they have released about it.
And yeah, it was just like, he's all right. He's in the rooms now. He's all good. Well, I don't see the problem with them coming out and saying, it was very concerning. He's fallen down. We're going to do the best we can to make sure he's okay.
But I suppose they don't want to make people worry. Like internally, they're probably having those conversations.
But I don't think I don't think it's making people worry if you're, you know, just showing concern for your player. Like it just felt like it was very dismissive. Like the guy's done something that was you don't see often at all. Someone just collapsing without any, like he wasn't touched or tackled or anything. He just fell down. I think there's...
And he said he slipped and other people said it's like cushion. There's a lot of grey area.
That's what I didn't like about it was it's like, I just slipped. Like you clearly did not slip. You were down and you looked like you were potentially unconscious for a second or two. So, yeah, I don't know why we have to like hide with those things. I just wish they came out, showed that there was genuine concern, you know, and and just gave us more of an update, like because I was concerned.
More of a humanistic approach, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, you want to respect Tom's privacy. If that wasn't his wishes to be, you know, a media or a news in that regard. So I just hope Tom's okay. He's a champion of the game, yeah, I guess we'll see the fallout come next week.
Yeah, well, he won't be involved next week and possibly for a couple of weeks. But, yeah, wish him well, old Libber. He's a star in their midfield and they'll sorely miss him.
All right, mate. You've got this next one. Your boys in a game that should not have been a thriller, looking at
start
the scores.
Of the close games. Yeah. Saturday was full of them, obviously. Yeah, this one kicked it off. It was the early kickoff, and we played St Kilda at Canberra, which was also a sellout. High crowds, early doors in this round. Sam Taylor, sickening injury. Don't know if you've had a chance to watch that.
I didn't actually see the injury. I just saw him
cleaned up midair by Steele.
Yeah, I saw him get stretched off, so he's gone. Concussion, yeah?
Yeah, nothing untoward with that, I should say. It wasn't anything Steele shouldn't do. Just a contest that, ended with Sam Taylor laid out on the deck. Not nicely, but apparently he's okay now. Came home from hospital later that day. So, yeah, hopefully he's okay. Obviously, same with Libba, like he's going to enter the concussion protocols. Unsure when he'll be back, but he seems like he's doing okay. And that... I mean, we started really well. The pressure was great early on. Saints are like, they couldn't handle it. And then I don't know if it's the injury, obviously going a key backman down makes a big difference to your structure and stuff. So Buckley had a lot to handle down there on his own. Max King also got injured late on. But Saints brought the pressure, second half in particular. They really, you could tell they got a sense that they were in the game. And they started to... I don't know, show signs that they could potentially take the lead. And we ended up being victors by 1 point. So super close. Peatling took a massive mark late on to just take the sting out of the game with about a minute left. And he had come on as a sub. So yeah, really good game of footy. High contest, like high pressure. Great one for the people of Canberra to watch.
Well, yeah, just interesting thing for me looking at it. You guys were 10 goals, 10 to their 6 goals, 5 going into three quarter time. You kicked 1 goal, 4 in the last quarter. They kicked 6 goals, 2. So they really had a sniff coming into the last, didn't they?
They really got us going late on. Like I say, it was probably a bit of a non-event at times throughout the first three quarters, but the fourth quarter it looked like they were going to run over us, and they very nearly did. So
it was mainly just you guys holding your nerve at the end, which I guess is good to see coming if you're from a GWS standpoint, that you can withstand that pressure.
Yeah, it is, but it's not great. We should have put the game to bed, obviously should kick more than one goal in the last, and some of the game management at times was dubious. So I think it's a good lesson for us, and I'm glad we got the 4 points. But yeah, lot to learn, because that same could be said really in the Collingwood game that we lost in the prelim, where just needed to manage the game and those moments better. But hopefully, it's a page turned.
Yeah, couple of notable performances as well. Whitfield was a star, 34 touches.
Yeah,
Heal and Steel had their own ball, 33.
Steel, the Canberra boy. I thought Rowan Marshall was terrific as well. Rowan Marshall was
unreal. 28 touches for a ruckman. That's unbelievable. His athletic capacity is unreal for a big man.
Absolutely. He's probably not the best ruckman in the comp, but all-round ruckman, he's probably up there.
Mate, he rucks pretty much the whole game as well. Yeah, his endurance is incredible. Very highly skilled ruckman, gets around for sure.
He is. And Cogsey got injured as well, but it was looking like it was going to be an ACL, but they've since confirmed that it was just minor MCL damage and he'll miss probably just the two games.
Yeah, and I was just about
news.
I was about to bring that up because that is huge news. Like you said, looked like it could have been a season-ending injury. So very fortunate for Cogs and for GWS because he's been in really good form.
Yeah, no, that is a lifesaver really for us, but glad he's okay.
All right, mate. You said this started the close games of the round. That was 1 point. The next one was 2 points. And
Was this not
the biggest game of the round? And I just want to say, have I not been very composed about my thoughts on the Crows? I have not sounded the alarm bells because I knew that this game was just around the corner and fucking oath was it good to see.
You did not know that this was going to be a win. You tipped it, hopefully, wishful thinking, and you've jagged one. So fair play.
I will be honest. I didn't necessarily think it was going to come this soon, but I knew that it was around the corner. And mate, it's a big relief. It's just a big relief. It is.
And you played really well. You played very well.
Played incredibly. Like, I'm really, really proud of the effort against one of the premiership favourites early on in the year in Carlton. So they kicked 14 goals, 14-98 to our 16 goals, 4. And that, to me, is the difference between start of the season to this game. Our kicking efficiency. Finally, we got it right.
Well, Tech showed up.
Tech showed up as well.
Rankin was terrific.
Kicked 4. Keys and Rankin kicked 3 each. Rochelle popping up with 2. It was great to see. And I just think it shows that we've got a lot of courage, just quietly, to be able to keep playing our game style despite the criticism.
Yeah. Carlton are not an easy opponent to play against and maintain that.
They're not. No, and that's what I mean. It would have been very easy for us to go into our shell, start playing a different brand, a more conservative brand to try and, you know, stop the flood from other teams. But we stuck with it. We knew that it was – our game style is very risky, but it comes down to us being efficient, and we were just very, very good efficiency-wise that game. Look, we still leaked goals, but that's the game style we play. We knew we had the belief that we were going to outscore them, and we did that. So,
Matt Crouch, one match suspension, bit disappointing.
Yeah, very disappointing based on the way he's been playing. He was our highest disposal getter again with Saligo. Mate, Jake Saligo, what a fucking player.
What about his performance? Yeah, do you think that's his spot now, more in the centre bounce?
Yeah, well, that's always been his spot. They just wanted to develop him, make sure he had some, you know.
I thought he was more of a winger.
Nah, they recruited him to be a midfielder. They just, like, his endurance capacity as a young player, they're just waiting for him to develop his body and his athletic aerobic capacity, which he's showing now. That he can do it. So I think he's going to be full-time midfielder for us. He's class. He is a class act. He's got that ability to break out of packs as well. He's got that speed and power. He is so good to watch. I love him. Barry was amazing.
You were all worried about Dawson, just on that note. What's going on there? He's playing forward. He's playing...
I'm not worried about him. I think he's just unsettled. Like, and I think because we're just trying to, you know, we're under pressure and we're trying to find ways to help the team out. And I think Dawson is our most versatile player and he's just being sacrificed in that regard, that he's the magnet that's getting thrown around everywhere. So I think he's a victim of that. It's hard to play consistently when you're being put in different positions, but that's why he's a leader. You know, he's sacrificing his role for that, and he's still you know, putting the work in and doing a good job for us. So I'm not worried.
No, the question marks for me around Adelaide are whether they can back this up. And you play Essendon at home next week, you have to win it.
Yeah, so, tell you what.
That's when we'll see.
We've got a very favourable run the next couple games for us to back it up. So we've got Essendon at home, which, look, based on last week, they could definitely bring us some heat, bring us some trouble. But, yeah, if we get the win that, we got North Melbourne the week after. So we could be looking at two wins on the trot. And
No excuses.
I've said this to you off air many times, but I'm going to make it a big thing right now on air. We are a momentum team.
Yeah.
Crows are a momentum team. All right.
So they'll steamroll the next few and then they'll be in the A and then that's game on.
That's it, mate.
That's what you're hearing here, folks. So we'll keep those receipts.
Go, you fucking Crowies. The lid's off. Book them. Book them. All right, mate. What was the next game? This was a bit of a drubbing. We don't need to spend too much time on this one.
Suns Hawks. Did you watch any of it? I didn't personally.
None of it. Didn't have a chance to.
No, I think it was a fairly standard result just looking at the stats and that. Wow, Noah Anderson, 36 and a goal. Unreal.
Mate, Sam Flanders, he's been a revelation for them.
Yeah, he is. And he played a bit halfback against Giants last week. Can play on the ball, can play in the middle. So, very talented player. I saw Sam Mitchell is at the guys. Is he Hawks coach?
Yeah.
Very disappointed. Said that they are past results like this and was extremely flat with the way they played. They play North this week, so expect a bounce back from them. But I could see North picking up some points there.
Yeah, that's actually a tough game to pick. Yeah.
Mac Andrew looks brilliant for Gold Coast. Saw a little highlights package of him. Played well against Giants last week. Very raw talent, but he's got some moves on him.
He's one of those players that sort of makes the game look easy, doesn't it? He looks very
elegant.
Yeah, it looks very effortless the way he played. But yeah, he was good. King
Closey looks great as well, young lad.
He's very good. King was very good with four goals as well. Good to see him show up. I'm trying to look at where is Mac Andrew in the stats? He's not even on here.
17 touches.
Oh, yeah. No, there he is. Yeah, 17 touches. And that Clahisi,
18
and two goals. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, warning signs if you're a Hawks fan, though. Very worrying.
Yeah, for sure. All right. The next close game that was on the Saturday was in Adelaide Oval between Port and Freo. And very low scorer.
Port stole this.
Yeah.
Freo have been robbed twice at the Adelaide Oval in the last 2 weeks.
Absolutely. So Port, 9 goals, 12-66, defeated Freo, 9-9-63 in a very low scoring game. 3 points in it.
That's what Freo do. They seem to real starve teams of scoring opportunities, and that's the way they like it, and that's the way it works for them. But they've been unlucky not to get the win the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Don't think I'd be too worried, though, if I'm a fan of theirs. They seem to have a very solid game style and can manage it pretty well.
Very organised. Yeah, like you said, it was just taken off them. It was a close game all day, but going to the last quarter, and especially in the last quarter, it looked like Freo were going to win it. And then
it did, yeah.
Port stole it at the end.
Alex Pierce has been terrific as well, by the way, because they've not got a lot of key defenders. Like, they're quite short of defenders back there, and Alex Pierce is holding big players to less than multiple goals, which is very impressive.
He is, and he's also racking up touches. He got 20 touches for a full back.
Did he?
Yeah,
that's... Wow. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And he kept Dixon to only 2 goals. Dixon kicked some important goals, but and he kept
Dixon
him to
had
two.
A bit of a blowout with the coach as well, Ken Hinckley.
Yeah.
Which obviously hard to know what was said. I don't think there was much in it, but showed some frustration, whether it was at the game or the matchup or the coaching.
I think blowout's a bit of hyperbole, but it was certainly, they had a disagreement. I think Charlie was very passionate. I think Hinkley was laughing a bit, but obviously they were having a disagreement about whatever. But I think it pushed Charlie and sort of played really well after it. They poked the bear, as they were saying. Looking at the performances, Sarong again, unreal, 29 touches.
Get some in his sleep, that bloke.
He's unreal. Houston.
Hayden
Young, 27. Houston, 27 for Port. Kane Farrow had a big game off halfback, 26. Rosie, 26. Wines coming back from hamstring injury, 26. And Zach Butters, 24 and a goal, was really good. And Jason Owen Francis had a solid game. He kicked the winning goal there.
Kicked the winner, yeah. He was quite quiet until that point, to be fair.
18 and a goal, still a good game, but yeah, kicked that winning goal, which he just showed very good strength in that one-on-one contest, marked the ball and kicked a pretty routine set shot to win it.
Yeah, he did. But yeah, a good game for a low score. I don't love watching Freo because, like I said, they just suffocate teams. But yeah, going to be some of those close battles. And I think that was at home. They'd have probably got over the line, just lacked that little bit.
Potentially. All right. Next game on the Sunday was a
pretty... I ain't spending too much time on this one.
Pretty standard. You knew it was going to happen. Geelong, 21 goals, 13, 139 defeated. North Melbourne, 10 goals, 4, 64. I tell you what, North Melbourne are getting creamed, but they're kicking close to 10 goals a game, which is, I guess,
that's impressive,
some good
isn't
signs,
it?
Yeah.
Should they be focusing more on defense, like a Freo? Do you build from the back? Like, are you going to win anything or get close to winning games if you can't defend?
I don't know. I think Freo have the chips to play with, though, in that regard. North Melbourne, though.
Yeah. They've had some poor list management.
Fucking Sheezel, man. 38 and a goal. Like, that's incredible.
Sheezel, yeah. He is unreal. At what point, and I was asking my North fan of a friend, Daniel, I was asking, what point did players like Sheezel start wanting out of this project?
Well, if you look at Jason Horne-Francis, he asked out a couple of years ago, so...
I don't think it's too concerning for him or the young ones, because they can build, but even your elder youths, your Larkies, your Zerhas... Simpkins playing half forward.
Well, yeah, those handful of players surely have got a case or something to think about, because they are in, maybe not Simpkin, but they're in every other team's best 22, 100%.
Yeah.
And they can potentially win a premiership elsewhere. I don't see North Melbourne winning a premiership for 10, 12 years. So that's way beyond these players', you know, careers. So, yeah, it's an interesting thing to talk about, I guess. But
Jezza was unreal. 6 goals, over 20 touches.
21
touches.
Close freak. 4 goals.
Yeah.
That's his career high. Neil, 31 as well.
Holmes, 25 and 2. Eddie Ford, unreal. 20 and 3.
Mate, Eddie Ford's good. He's a very good footballer. I like him.
He is. A lot of energy about him, and it's the sort of player that North need more of. But they're just too light at the back. They can't stop teams at the moment. So it doesn't matter what you can do going forward. Like you say, it's clearly not too much of an issue scoring goals, but stopping them is a major concern.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we'll get into the next game.
The final upset.
Some might say it was an upset. If you're like me, you could read it from a mile away. West Coast... 109, 16 goals, 13, defeated Richmond, 10 goals, 10, 39 points. The Eagles, lids off, book them.
That's a great result. One they needed, desperately needed. And I thought once they got a few goals that the fans would get behind them, and they did. Richmond started really strong, pressure was super high in this one. They could have been 40 points up, but they didn't quite capitalise. And then West Coast kicked the next 7, I think. And that was it. Game over. Good night.
Yeah, unreal. West Coast, on the back of last week, really showed, you know, that maybe they have something to show in the competition this year. Played a very
Elliot Yeo, terrific.
Yeah, backed it up. He was great last week. He was amazing this week as well.
First sign of Harley Reid like being an absolute jet as well.
27 and a goal. That's unreal.
Unreal.
He was very, very good. Tim Kelly, 29. He's been quiet last few weeks, so it was good to see him get back in. Back in form. Baker's been very good for Richmond. 25 and a goal in that new midfield role for him. Vlosten been having a ball on a string as well, 24. Bolton has been really good up forward. Kick 3, 21. Mm-hmm. So he was great for them. But, mate, Jake Waterman, a bag of six.
Beast.
That's a very good game. And 18
I've seen
touches.
He's had a few fucking massive games against Giants, so I'm glad to see someone else cop it because he plays like prime number nine Ronaldo against us. But, yeah, he's actually a really good forward.
He's very good forward. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't think in a forward line with him, Cripps and Darling, like that he's the standout, but he's head and shoulders above the other two.
Yeah. No, and I think people have slept on him just because he's played for the Eagles, but in any other team, he'd be a very good forward. So
he looks so scouse. like he just looks like he should be a scouse.
All right, mate.
Or Scottish.
All right, that was the round that was, mate. Collingwood Sydney had the bye this week. So, next week we get a full round, though. Incorrect. Melbourne and Richmond had the byes next week. But do you have another quiz for us this week, mate?
Of course, mate. I've always got a quiz. You just got to get the stats up, mate.
Let's go. Let's get into it.
Let's start with what round were we in? Five. Round five, just feels like that. Who had the most disposals?
Sheezel, wasn't it?
Correct. Sheezel with 38 was the most, and that's very impressive. What else? Who had? It's our clanger of the week, mate. Who is it?
Oh, still don't know.
Nine clangers.
Still don't know what a clanger is, and we're about to find out. But
save it, mate. Save.
Fuck. Was it?
It was a North player. Can North you guess which player. One?
Was it Tristan Sherry?
It was LDU.
Was it?
Not one who normally gets many clangers. So no. Disappointing for him. Let me look who's next. Stoppages. Who had the most clearances with 16 clearances for the game?
Fuck. I know Took had a lot. I'm going to say Took Miller.
Or let me just go down and see if I can find Took Miller. He had 5. Well done, mate. That's only 11 less than Rowan Marshall, who had the most clearances.
Rowan Marshall, wow. Fair play.
I suppose right in there. Elliot Yeo had 15 as well, so shout out to him. That's
fucking
a big
nice.
Game.
Fucking nice.
Who had the most centre bounce attendances with 29? It's your mate.
Riley.
Riley O'Brien.
Yeah, right. Fair play.
What a beast he is.
Yeah, he is.
He's shit.
He's a beast. I'll give him that. He's big.
Who had the most goals, mate? And it was joint. You know this one.
Jezza
with?
And Jake Waterman.
Correct. Who had the most goal assists? None other than the actor from About a Boy. It's Oliver Henry.
Oh, yeah, right. I was...
Four.
I was going to say Myers, but yeah, Henry.
And who had the most kick-in play-ons with 7?
Nasiah.
Takes a lot of them. Got a blonde hair at the moment.
Oh, Luke Ryan.
Luke Ryan, that's it. And that is our quiz for the week.
All right, mate. We need to get some clarification on something, though. I have no idea what a fucking clanger is.
Clanger, so, yeah, and the other one, Score Launch, I was looking to get the answer to as well from a few weeks ago.
Yeah, so we have hired a resident stat man for the pod to help us.
Resident Evil.
To have help us with these specific issues. So we're going to get him on the bell now. Hopefully he answers.
On the bell end?
On the beller. And see if he can help us out.
He is a betting company's nightmare if he's Mr. Statman.
That's how it was, yeah.
Oh, it's a good sign. 17 rings. I think he's not in. He's probably out playing billiards on the town.
Right, well...
sharpening his pool cue.
Next week, we're going to have an update from our from a different stat man because he has just lost his job, that one. All right, round six, tipping.
Good stuff. Thanks, Jacob, for not coming on. Must be a big fan.
Round six.
Right, let's get into the tipping. Let me open up to see who did well this week first. In and under tipping, few tips. Oh, unfucking believable. Maybe the only ones that tip the Brisbane Lions. Oh, Dubs FC got Essendon. Wow. What's the scores on the doors for the week? Oh, unfucking believable. Still top with 31 correct. He's only top by his margin, though, as Caruso 22 has moved up. He's on 31, 149 margin. Dubs FC 31. It's tied at the top. Wow. Significant movers. We had Leppy 8, which is yourself, mate. Well done. You're in 29. You got 6 correct, which was the most in the group. So yeah, good effort by you.
Dog out, yes.
Good effort. Last round margin, 1 point I was off.
Oof.
That's the lowest. Mario was 2. All done, fucking.
What was the game for the margin?
I think that was a good question. Don't know.
Well, you're about to get fucking.
Maybe Brisbane.
You're about to get Ross Lyon on us then. The opportunity.
Yeah. The opportunity.
Yeah, you do that so well. All right, let's
get into it. Let's round get into six it. Tips, baby. It's all to play for. It's heating up on the tipping.
Fucking oath.
Dogs v Saints.
Are you going to this one?
No, because it's Saints' home game.
Okay, fair enough. Saints v Dogs. Mate, way Dogs are gone. I can't tip
Dogs
them.
Dogs bounce back. Come on. You've got the doggies, haven't you?
No, I can't tip them. I'm going Saints.
Me too. I've gone Saints by 27.
Yep. Okay.
Done. Adelaide v Essendon. The battle of the bottle jobs on a Friday night. Wow. Both teams will want to bottle this, so who can actually not bottle it is the question.
I'm a little bit concerned with this game because last year, fucking Essendon played so well against us and beat us, but that was in Melbourne. This year... yeah, I don't know. Anyone can win this game based on current form. I'm going to tip Adelaide at home. I think we've got our mojo back a bit and we are a momentum team.
Fair play. I'm going to go Essendon and play devil's advocate because I think if they play the way they did, which they probably can't, they can beat you.
Okay.
And it's close round this week. You got next game, Collingwood v Port at the MCG.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't really.
Collingwood off a bye.
Yeah, I don't really know, mate. Based on history, you never tip the team coming off the bye.
No, for that reason, I'm going Port.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Port too. They look really good.
Prison Bar clash as well.
Collingwood could win this. Yeah, the Eddie McGuire Cup. Collingwood could win. They before their bye, they found their form again. Yeah.
Back at the G, well rested.
Oh, kind of want to tip Collingwood.
Go on, do it, mate.
Yeah, I'll tip Collingwood on the pod. Why not?
I've got the Port Adelaide power. Got on the pair.
Oh, this is this is gonna be a good game.
You asked if I'm going to the Saints or I'm not. I'm going to this one. Oh, I'm a Giants member, and I will be at Marvel Stadium cheering on the boys against the Blue Baggers. Have to go them. Carlton, this is the start of their slide.
I'm gonna go Carlton. I think Sam Taylor is a massive miss, especially in this game.
He is. I suppose against a two-headed snake that is Mackay and Kerno. But I tell you what, if Michael Keane can stop him, no worries for Buckley.
I think Cogs is a big out as well in the midfield.
Ward coming back in, though.
Yeah. Nah, sorry, not good enough to turn right, the tide yeah, there.
You've said it. I'm going to carry on, mate. Lions v Cats, another one at the Gabba. Geelong unbeaten and Giants unbeaten. So one of them is looking like they're probably not going to be unbeaten after this.
I think Lions have found their mojo back. I think Brisbane will win. Not confident, but yeah.
I'll go Brisbane with you, mate. I see the logic there. Geelong have had a good start, but it all comes to an end in this one. And you've got the Western Derby.
Yeah.
West Coast v Frio. Pretty obvious Frio pick there. They'll bounce back after a few slow weeks. Sydney v Suns.
You thought this was routine.
I'm
tipping West Coast.
No, you are not.
I'm tipping West Coast.
What's he playing at? Look, last week was acceptable. I'm tipping West Coast. This week is just silly.
I'm tipping West Coast.
And Sydney v Suns?
I'm tipping West Coast.
Sydney
coming off the bye, but I think they'll be too good for Suns at home.
Yeah, I'm going to go Sydney in this one. Tough loss. They've been simmering on it for a couple of weeks against Richmond. Back at the SCG, they'll get it done.
This one's tough one.
Game of the round.
Potentially.
North v Hawks.
North,
the graveyard slot.
North have shown they've got the scoring power to beat Hawks here.
Go North. The Clarkson Cup, they'll take it.
I'm going to go North too. Yeah.
Mate, and I know you don't want to do that. So
I know I don't,
that says
but that's
a lot.
Yeah, Hawthorn are really not convincing me at the moment. And mate, wow. I've tipped all the home teams this week, just quietly.
Get your tips in, because it's heating up. This is a big week. There's a lot of 50-50s there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. Especially looking forward to Friday night. Come on, you fucking Crom.
That's it. And I just want to revisit that anagram I gave you. Do you have any answer for me, mate? Is this going to be the first week that I stump you?
I actually haven't looked at it at all. Let me have a quick look. All right. I reckon it is.
The first three letters, which is, again, all Harrow's man. The first three letters, which is all, they're in the correct, like, what would you say, sequence. It does. They are A-L-L in the name. Not the right placement, but the correct sequence. They follow each other.
I don't know what you mean. I think you're throwing me off then.
Okay, sorry. Gonna have to press you for an answer, mate. Time is ticking on.
Wait, so it starts A-L-L?
No, they are. It's A-L-L at some point in the word or the name.
Yep. No, I know what you're picking up. I know what you're putting
think
down.
Think clearances,
Rowan Marshall.
Mate. Think clearances.
No,
and
you didn't have
got
to tell
it.
You didn't have to tell me.
Absolutely nailed it with the clue. With the help of my two clues, he got it. He would have had no chance without.
Nah,
it
would have been.
It is Rowan Marshall from last week's Clanger of the Week to this week's Allagram. I love him.
Yep, unbelievable player. And I would have got it without your clue anyway, mate. Well, thanks, mate. Thanks for making that one a bit more difficult.
I hope you are enjoying this segment as much as Carmen clearly is. And we'll see you next week for more
before,
big Allagrams.
Before we go out, mate, do we bring up the kicking comp that we...
If you haven't seen it by now, you must not be one of the 200 views that we have on that video. So glad I spent 2 weeks editing it. What a day to be alive.
Surely it's been worth it, putting that out into the public, mate, so people can see some of your fine work, I must say.
That banana, I'll have that on my gravestone, I think.
Mate, that...
A little etch of that.
And look, I'm very embarrassed that I've lost to you. Well, no spoilers. I'm embarrassed by my performance. For those of you who don't know, by the way, we've put up a video of us finally having a goal-kicking comp in footy. Alex performs quite well for someone who has never played the game before. But yeah, that banana, mate, I've watched that a few times. That is elite level stuff. Like, no,
it's one in a million, isn't it?
No, genuinely, it looks really good. And I like you, a couple. You'd be impressed if an AFL footballer did that. So fair play to you.
Look, I don't get this sort of praise much from Carl, so I know it must be genuine. It is a very good banana. I don't mind a banana. It's one of the few things I can do with an AFL.
Also known as a check side.
A check side also. And or now, boomerang.
Yeah, and I don't want to give any spoilers, but I am going to say that ball was fucked. It was round.
But it is the first of our... going to be the first in a series that we do where we put our competitive streaks to the test and challenge each other as we love to do. It's what we were made to do, I think. It's why we're friends.
Yeah.
Friendship built on toxic competition, that is us. So if you have any recommendations for what sports we should try or activities, it doesn't
be fucking play anything.
Limited. We'll play it, and I'll tell you what, we'll enjoy it, and I'll beat Carmen.
We'll play darts, croquet, Quidditch if we can, anything.
Yeah, once his hamstring's better, of course.
Yeah, I didn't get into that at all, but that's good. All right, let's we'll move on out of here. See us next week. Go the fucking crumb.
Enjoy the footy this week, and just remember, Giants, get it done against the Blues, and try and look out for me on the telly. Here come the Giants.